Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Somber news out of West Virginia this morning. 25 miners dead at a mine explosion there. 4 still missing, although the chances that they survived the explosion are not good, and they've suspended the search there. Coal mining fatalities actually hit an all-time low last year. 34 workers died nationwide. It's a tragic number, but it's still an improvement for the country's most dangerous industry. And yet it's maddening to hear that Massey Energy was cited repeatedly for violations before yesterday's explosion, just as the Sago mine was cited numerous times before the disaster in 2006. And we're going to talk about the state of mining inspections and the efficiency of them with Jack Spadaro. He's the former director of the National Mine Health and Safety Academy. Jack, how is it possible? It seems like we're constantly hearing after tragedies inside mines that inspectors had repeatedly cited these mines for violations.
I don't know how this has happened. As you know, I was responsible for about 8 years for training federal mine health and safety inspectors, but there's been a tremendous influx of new inspectors in recent years. And there was just a report that came out the day before this terrible tragedy that said that only about half of those inspectors had received their annual refresher training. So there's been some sort of breakdown in the training. My experience with the Mine Safety and Health Administration is that the inspectors in the field, in the mines, are highly dedicated, well-trained, and committed to improving mine health and safety conditions at the mines. But I do find it amazing that a company could go for 2 years and receive over 1,000 citations of the regulations and have 50 of those citations be considered unwarrantable failure to comply with the law. And that means that they had done something deliberately to get around complying with the law. So those conditions and the fact that the mine wasn't cited for a pattern of violations do cause me considerable concern.
Well, you're not the only one that's concerned. Is there a problem with the trigger here? I mean, we're talking about the fact that this mine was cited for cracking and collapsing mine walls on February 21st, ventilation problems on March 17th, 23rd, 30th, drill dust on March 25th, inadequate air quality on March 23rd. That's just in recent weeks. And I got to ask, where is the trigger here? At what point do inspectors say you've had enough violations, you're skirting around the investigators, you shut down the operations until this is addressed?
Well, the trigger should have been in place. I mean, there were enough, as I reviewed the total list of 1,000 citations, there were frequently citations for failure to comply with the ventilation control plan. And there was, as recently as March 23rd, a citation for insufficient air quantity at a section of the mine. So there were obviously some serious ventilation problems at that mine. And I agree with you, it should have been closed.
Okay, let's now go to Jessica Lilly. She's a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Jessica, I understand you slept in an elementary school overnight. Can you tell us what you saw yesterday in the community there?
Sure. It was somewhat chaotic when I first got here. There was lots of people driving up to the mine shaft, and of course they didn't let media get there, but as we were sitting there waiting to hear the latest word, we saw large vehicles packed full of people with terrified looks on their faces, looking over and just saying, you know, I think my brother is in there, I've got to get across, and then they'd race across the bridge, and the family's been kept on mine property, and then the media has all flocked here around midnight. So,
well, Jessica,
and then throughout it,
is there a sense, Jessica, in the community that the demand for coal and energy right now is so overwhelming that safety and inspections and all the sort of caution that goes into working in this dangerous place is just out the window?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that there's a sense that safety and things like that are just out the window. There are, in working in the coal industry and people who are down here, that it's been reported that these families say that they do understand that there are always certain dangers with the with mining underground and surface mining or mountaintop removal mining. But however, they're still asking questions and they still want answers that so far officials can't give them. They're saying, you know, of course, some of those answers can't be answered until the investigation is underway and gets wrapped up.
Jessica, were the miners and the workers and their families aware of the violations that Massey had been cited for in recent weeks?
That's not clear. The family, as I mentioned before, has been kept on site away from media personnel. So they're asking questions. It's not clear whether or not they've been aware of it or not. Now, this place in Raleigh County is the same place where there have been several protests in opposition of mountaintop removal mining and carbon emissions from burning of coal and things of that nature. And there are certain grassroots organizations who help to make some of those citations and things of that nature somewhat out in the open and clear. But I'm not sure whether or not they know about it. It's not clear.
Jessica, while the fate of four miners is still in question, I would imagine that the process, the true process of grieving can't even begin for this community. It still must be relatively tense there.
It is somewhat. We've here at Marsh Fork Elementary, it's mostly a bunch of reporters and media, national and local. And as local reporters, a lot of us, you know, this hits very close to home to a lot of us. We, you know, most of us have somebody in the mining industry. I lost my father in a mining accident. And and there was also another young man who started tearing up. He came here looking for answers and looking for his family, and he said that his brother was there, and he quickly walked away. He wasn't interested in talking to the media. So it's everyone's on edge, but trying to pull together as small communities here in West Virginia do so well.
Oh, Jessica Lilly is a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. We also spoke with Jack Spadero. He's the former director of the National Mine Health and Safety Academy.